Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Jill Metzen, and we are talking about empowering your life with vibrational energy. Jill is a prolific musician and author who brings her deep spiritualism and intense curiosity and wonder to the many creative passions that she pursues. Jill lives to help others achieve personal growth and healing through her music, writings, and art. With sound healing and meditative music, she lifts people's spirituality, health, and emotional and mental states. Jill is a four-time author and widely recognized expert and composer in the emerging field of sound healing. She has produced 6 recent CDs that combine intricate sound healing techniques with her original musical healing and sound compositions, resulting in intriguing magical tracks that also offer deep healing and growth possibilities. Jill lectures throughout the United States on ancient sounds, modern healing, taking followers on an exciting journey revealing the healing power of sound. She unveils secrets from ancient cultures as well as the latest findings of the modern scientific community showing the incredible power and healing capabilities of sound. You can find out more about Jill and her music, art, and articles by visiting her website, which is jillswingsoflight.com. Again, it's www.jillswingsoflight.com. And I do have a direct link to her webpage in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Jill to the show. Good day, Jill.
Oh, good day to you as well, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I really thank you. It is really good to have you here. I have often recognized the power of sound and music, and it's wonderful to have someone who is so versed as you are in it. So, for those of you listening, I do want to let you know that if you would like to ask Jill a question during the show, you can call in at 619-789-4359. Or if you're listening to us live in the chat room and would like for me to pose a question to her, feel free to type it in there. Okay, Jill, well, let's start with, I really like often to have my guests start by giving the listener a little bit of their background and how it is they got to doing what they are. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners your journey and kind of what got you interested in sound.
Sure. I've been a musician, or at least a wannabe musician, since I was 5. And I've always had a passion for music. It seemed to heal me, stabilize, balance me. In my midlife, I had kind of a crisis, and I went on a spiritual quest. And I'm a geek. I'm a geek of the nth order. So I went through mystery schools, which would be teachings of the ancient masters, like Confucius, Buddha, Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. And I went through like 17 different mystery schools, and I read all their texts. And whenever there was anything about sound and music, I mean, I was just like a porcupine, you know, all the hair goes up and my eyes get wild and, you know, start to breathe a little faster. Just get really excited. And I started to compile tidbits because in ancient times, they did not view the world like we did today. Science was actually approached through the window of music, and that just seems so weird today because we are in today. But in ancient times, science was more looking at nature and seeing patterns and underneath the patterns going to the numbers that create the geometry, and then converting that to sound to ingest large doses of nature. And then they would look at the feelings generated from different patterns of sounds or numbers. They're both the same thing. And they would kind of use different sounds as like a toolbox for your health, for your emotions, for your feelings, thinkings, relationships, virtue building, to rehabilitate criminals, to build, to psych out your armies, to kill, all kinds of overwhelming things. And then they understood clearly, which we understand today, the idea of resonance. And that is, if I have a violin off to my right and to my left, if I play the A string on my right, the A string on my left sounds. So I don't know. I like things simple. So I always like to think of like a little gerbil tunnel going from one violin to the other, and it's invisible. The energy goes. Well, it sneaks across that little tube, and it transfers between things of the same frequency that are close by. So, and it also does it through octaves. And octaves, a musical term, and all it means is same note higher or lower. Bum, bum, same note. And so they would calculate the transference of, let's say, shapes in nature and how that affected your thoughts and your feelings, thinking that your thoughts and feelings were simply different octaves of vibrations. And quite frankly, they are. So they had like this incredible mind-bending situation where they were using music for everything. And the whole art got lost. And when I found it, I mean, just really, it's like an earthquake or something for me. I was really shook. And wow. I have spent my life bringing that back to use sound like one would use medicine, change your relationships, get rid of your nasty habits, alter your liver, get your bone to heal faster. You know, I mean, and the list is endless. And then, you know, even further, if you look at the music and you go from epic to epic, like, you know, ancient Hindu versus Confucius versus the Egyptian stuff, and you'll see that the different types of music that they have would be correlated to the virtues or the qualities that were like the key points or the key accomplishments of their civilization. So they were linking the music that they play to their very stereotypical personalities and accomplishments as a society. And it's a very calculated art. I mean, how cool is that? Wow.
It is. You know, when I read, you have a wonderful, by the way, to let listeners know, you have a wonderful series of articles on your website. So I recommend anyone who's listening to the show go and read them. And, you know, you have one called The Sounds of Civilizations. And, you know, you talk a bit about that, you know, that idea, you know, over the epics, the various civilizations and, you know, the type of music, you know, that they created and how it was representative. And I first of all, I found that, you know, fascinating. And, you know, as I was reading the article, of course, my mind wandered and I was, you know, thinking about, you know, in today's environment, when we hear music coming from different countries or different regions around the globe, you know, there is quite often a very, you know, distinctive sound, you know, that that you can kind of, you know, and I'm thinking like Middle Eastern or if I'm thinking Asian, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought, you know, to me, of course, it made my mind wonder and think, you know, what types of values or what types of situations or a conscious creating, you know, situations does this music, you know, in each of these societies create? And then I started thinking about the United States. I'm thinking, my God, we have got massage, you know, a cacophony of stuff. Does that say something about our society? You know, the fact that
they
don't have a distinctive sound?
Yes. Well, let me say this first. The ancient man would perceive that because, like Chinese music in a way, all sounds like ancient Chinese music versus ancient, Native American Indian has its own flavor too. And they would say that it is the music that shaped the culture. And that's how you can stereotype a person from Japan versus Mexico versus, or from New York versus Georgia versus California. They're saying that what these people are listening to alters their personality. And then they would, I love this, they would then divine that personality and figure out where it needed tweaked, improved, and they would design music to do that. And it's almost like in ancient cultures, the ancient masters would say that, you know, ancient China was learning balance. They were learning with things with nature. They were actually working on the musical notes C and F. Most of their music was an F, and they had a one-number pattern in all of their music. Unlike today, you know, you don't have a radio. You don't go downtown and listen to music. And in all ancient cultures, the government mandated music. In other words, you had to play the same C, only instruments they said, only scales they said. They dictated everything. If they changed a pitch, everybody in the country had to change all their flutes to match. They controlled music to police. And so think of it this way. I've got to step back to resonance, where we have the concept that energy travels between the same frequency, and if that same frequency just higher or lower. So if you were to take like the color red light, cycles per second, and just take it down octaves, which is the same note, just lower, or you just divide the cycles per second by two, easy peasy, and you come down into the musical note, you'll see that red equals C. And if you go into the octave, the musical octave of emotions, you'll see it equates with anger, passion, action, you know, whereas green is more like envy or growth or abundance and lack of abundance. And yellow would be wisdom and grace and mental energy. Violet would be transformation. So there's emotions that are mathematically calculated and connected with each musical note. So in the globe, as we're evolving as a species, you see that in ancient China for thousands of years, they're working on, let's say, the color, you know, one color, red or green. And no, I guess they're working on green. And they're working on emotional qualities. And then in Hinduism, they always tune to an orange or a red. They'll have, even when the ancient players alive today, the music always starts 45 minutes late because musicians come in and tune their instruments for 45 minutes. Now that's stupid. And they're doing it because they're tuning the audience. They want everybody in the audience to tune to the same frequency so that when they do their concert, they manipulate them properly. So everybody's like on the same page to start off with. And it's red, is what they're, or C, that they're tuning to. And so if you go throughout the history of the earth, you see maybe tribes, countries, and they're all learning different lessons. The lessons of Egypt was knowledge, you know, versus Hinduism was meditation and samadhi and peace, you know. So they're all learning these different things. And somewhere along the line, before this new millennium, I perceive that the East and the West, the you know, the East had developed the meditation and the had kept a lot of the old tunings, the old music, and the old knowledge. When the West developed materialism, and the scales changed, and we stopped listening to nature and spiritual scales right before the Industrial Revolution. So, you know, we each, again, we develop different. I mean, it's really nice to have all the spiritual practices, but in India, their people were starving. You know, they're very poor.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So now, it's kind of, you know, and we were maybe industrial, but spiritually poor about 100 years ago,
yeah.
I would say. And so now we're starting to mix, and we're starting to become earth. Or said differently, we've, over the thousands of years, humanity has learned lessons in all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the colors of the rainbow. And we're starting to, as an earth, we're starting to create some white light, or we're starting to mix it. We're starting on our
yeah.
next epic, our next big stage of growth. That's how ancient people
yeah, well,
would
yeah,
see it, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's to me, it's interesting. You know, first of all, the ancient civilizations really controlled the music. You know, to me, that's, you know, in today's society, that would be, you know, kind of like a heresy, you know, to try and put reins on the music. It's like, oh, my God, you know. I mean, you know.
They were dead serious. I mean,
you know,
they could imprison you or kill you. I mean, they didn't monkey around with it either. It was important.
Really?
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things, you know, you talked about resonance, you know, and I've always found that fascinating. I've had a couple of shows with people, you know, talk about that. And the, you know, to me, you know, the idea of, you know, being able to, you know, like strike a note and then have it, you know, be picked up by another instrument at the same time and, you know, vibrate. To me, I mean, it's like you talked, that little, you know, gerbil connection, you know, whatever that is, you know, that is.
It exemplifies the ancient hermetic magic, as above, so below. If they sing
yeah.
a note up there, we sing a note down here, because energy transfers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, think of it this way, we ingest sounds. Because anything in our body that's the same frequency of music we hear, through resonance, we ingest. Proof? Remember a time when some big car came by and had the windows down? The deep subwoofer is going. You can feel it in your bones because of the same
right.
frequency. It's transferring
wow.
and your bones are vibrating.
Yeah.
So you become your music.
I know. Oh boy, not a top 10 hit here. but you know, one of the things that I'd like to, you know, on your website, you had a few articles that dealt with some of the components of music, you know, and I think, you know, resonance is, I think, you know, one aspect of what how music is, the effect that music can have, but there are three aspects that you talk about. And so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to talk, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more details
yeah.
of, you know, what they are
yeah.
and how they, you know, impact. Like, and those would be the intervals, pitch, and rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of insight on each of those aspects and how they
yeah.
affect us.
In terms of pitch, that's simply, said differently, it's cycles per second of any vibration, and anything vibrates. So whether or not it's in our hearing range, I'm referring to the numbers of cycles per second of a vibration. And everything in your body has its own vibration. And you can heal many things in your body by simply sucking up the right frequency. Proof? Go to a bone doctor, and they will lend you a little sound machine, tell you they can lessen the time to heal your bones by half, and you're listening to the frequency of your bone. You're simply ingesting it, and then it heals faster. That's how ancient people did their magic, if you will. So there's a whole, I don't know, think of the periodic chart of elements. That's everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a musical scale. It's a musical scale, you know, one electron is bum, two electron is bum, and then up you go. So that's pitch. Now, intervals, again, sound and close proximity combines. And sounds have, like, after ripples. Like, just think of a clock, a pendulum. If you pull up that pendulum off to the right, it swings down once, but then it continues to swing smaller after ripples or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it when you speak in a cathedral. You can hear your voice go up. So these after ripples are, this is fabulous. The work of Sherry Edwards has been able to show that, like your cycle of digestion, the Krebs cycle of digestion, if you don't look at it in terms of chemistry or biology, but cycles per second, you'll see that it is a harmonic formula. It's an after ripple of sound. And so, you know, your body is going to respond to not just frequencies, but also combinations of frequencies. Like she's been able to show that, you know, like liver and digestion might be the combination of two notes. And we know that in a way because, like, if you're going to digest your calcium, you also need perhaps magnesium. So it's like you need two pitches or an interval in order to make your body process work in that way. And aging people would parallel intervals because they're happy and sad. You know, like nanny is kind of creepy sounding. Bum bum isn't. And so they would use them like medicine. And they would have painstakingly accurate, detailed focus, awareness, and observation of the impact of sound. And then they would do it over and over again. You know, right now you listen to music and then you go on and you listen to another music. It's like your sound world is really monkey mind. And it's very hard to judge how it impacts you because you're all over the board. But they would do one thing forever and then they would like catalog what it did. And that's the root of magic words. It's a science. It's not, you know, I mean, they probably have 1,000 hours on figuring out what a certain sound or rhythm or pitch or interval. And rhythms are the same thing. Rhythms and pitch are intimately related. Every rhythm has a pitch, like bum, 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 or bum, bum, bum. You know, each drum has its own pitch. Then each, if we go back to the example, when you're in the street in the car with the, you know, the top down, the low, sub bass, woofer going, you can count that pitch. You can hear it go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so they both do the same thing in different ways in terms of impacting you. And it's the Hindi, the ancient Hindi, the healing art there that has really developed the rhythmic art of healing.
Yeah, we know it's very, very, very interesting. Now, you know, when I read the article about intervals, you know, it talked about you know two waves kind of either working, you know, in harmony or conflict, so to speak. You know, as far as that, the waves that continue afterwards, and then. You know, talked about like when wearing headphones, that the brain can only hear one tone at a time. So if it played two different tones, you know, it kind of combines it. What's your feeling? I've had a couple people who have done like CDs with binaural beats. You know, where they.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's your opinion? Of that whole process of, you know, maybe synchronizing the brain, one side, one each hemisphere?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just to flesh it out a little, and it's I found its history in the Tibetan monks, maybe else that I didn't find, but it's definitely there. They would use little ting shawls, like symbols about the size of an orange, before they had headphones, and they'd put different cycles per second in your ear. Unknowns to us, we're used to hearing in surround sound. And our brain gets kind of befuddled when you have a different pitch in one ear and in the other ear, and they don't hear them in both ears. So it must have a in the brain. Both the left and the right hemisphere open up, share, do the math, and this would prove, I think, that the language of the body's math is expressed by frequency. But anyway, So they do the math, and you hear the difference between the two frequencies, which, you know, is kind of boring. You know, duh, you hear another tone. So what? Well, so what? You just introduced whole brain functioning and took your IQ up. Further, in a matter of minutes, your brainwave will match. And for normal daily conscious, that's no big deal. But you can slow your brainwave down to deep meditative states and go down to a state that could take a monk 10 years to learn in a matter of minutes. Then, if you do it enough, like I sell like a little sound light machine, it's the same kind of thing, only it also puts frequencies in your eyes, your closed eyes, so it's even more powerful. And then, you know, there are certain frequencies at brainwaves, which like Stanford, I mean, all your major schools have confirmed this, that it works. And what happens, there's like a library. What happens at different brainwaves? Like you get down in your deep theta and all your healthy chemicals, your body goes into homeostasis, your body repels. You don't need to go to GNC. You just need to go to theta brainwaves and your body will build your stuff. And your psychic skills are also a habit of being able to go to a certain theta brainwave. So it's like way cool. It's just one more fascinating way that you can look at everything through vibrations.
Yeah, you know, to me it was, you know, fascinating because when I was first introduced to it, it was really unique. I have a tendency when it came to trying to get myself into that meditative state. Monkey mind is was my middle name. You know, so I mean, it was really difficult to achieve. When I started listening to a couple examples of binaural beats, sometimes with nature sound, sometimes not, but it was amazing at how quickly I was able to be calm, and truly eliminate all of the chatter, that was been going through my head, and it was it was wonderful. I mean, I've been sold on it ever since, and see, to me, it's that type of quality that music and sound and its ability to alter our state of being that really, to me, it's like knowing that is possible. I have become ever conscious of really making my music selections of what I listen to really try to support the kind of activity that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, we're halfway through the show already, Jill. We're just zipping right through. So what I want to do is, for those of you listening, again, if you would like to ask Jill any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 619-789-4359. And also for those of you listening in the chat room, if you'd like to pose a question, feel free to type it in there, and I'll be sure to pass it on to Jill. Now, Jill provided me several different clips from her music compositions. And I'm going to go ahead and play one, and then right after that we'll have that a short 2-minute break. And again, I'll be able to screen any callers if we have any. And then once we get back after that, then we'll continue on with our discussion. Okay, Jill?
Sounds wonderful.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to play the one called My Soul. So when we get back, when we get back, then we'll start to go ahead and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the song, about My Soul and all of that, okay? Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Hey, Robert, it's Chris from Curious Times. Just want to let you know I read your book, Joy Potential. Thought it was an awesome story, and the twists and the turns were great. I felt like the characters were just really easy to relate to. I most appreciated how the book delivers some sage advice without making you feel like you're being lectured to, and without feeling like I was reading another one of those thousands of self-help books written by some spiritual guru. Very entertaining learning, and the book left me wanting to know what happens next. Thanks so much, and good luck with this book, Robert.
Hi, Robert. Evelyn here from treeofenchantments.com, my little online magical forest shop. And talk about magic. Boy, Joy Potential is truly magical. This story about a week when everything turns to a new life path, speaking of fear turning into excitement, startling new connections with others, breathtaking new thought patterns, really, I could go on and on. The ending is such a surprise. Honestly, I couldn't put it down. And when I finished reading it, I wanted more. You don't come across books like this often in life. No matter where you are, Joy Potential will open awareness and simply delight. Thank you, Robert, for a really wonderful book. I look forward to the next book and to the next one and the one after that. I hope many, many people read Joy Potential. They will be very glad they did.
For more information, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me. Or call 843-808-0777.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, thanks to Chris and Eve for those testimonials. I greatly appreciate it. And also to let everyone know that my new book, which is called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, is out now, and all of that's available on my website, www.bikeradio.me. Okay, well, let's get back to today's show. Again, my very special guest is Jill Matson, and we are talking about vibrational healing, and you can find out more about Jill, also all of her CDs, her art, and articles, wonderful articles, all by visiting her website, which is jillswingsoflight.com. Again, that's www.jillswingsoflight.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, Jill, we're back.
All right.
that cut that we played just before the break, I mean, it ended really quick, and I'm like, oh, man, I want to hear more. I was like, oh, gosh, it ended already. Well, you know, music to me is the kind of music that I play when I write. I mean, that is the kind of music that I play. I mean, to me, that stimulates inspiration. I mean, it just, to me, it takes you to a place, you know, where you can really, you know, explore the infinite possibilities.
Thank you. I almost feel guilty about my music that I write. I feel that I'm gifted it. It's like someone writes through me. Sometimes I just hear it and write it, and I feel, oh, my gosh, is that cosmic cheating? But
cosmic plagiarism.
You know, you hear it, you write it down, and it's like, I don't know who to thank. But what I have done is I've put in ancient practices in Paint Your Soul and in Stardust of raising your body, mind, soul. An ancient man who in many ways was very evolved, they would like raise up, become more godlike, you know, facilitate enlightenment by this process I described before. They would tune to heaven and earth. They tuned to earth by just looking at nature. And the patterns found in nature create shapes, a.k.a. sacred geometry. But the most predominant one would be that spiral in a seed shell in a galaxy. It's, you know, the golden ratio and all that stuff. And they would convert the numbers to cycles per second. and earth-wide. We listened to this for thousands and thousands of years, and we just stopped at the Industrial Revolution about 300 years ago. And what this ancient kind of vibratory spiral would do is it would attune people to earth. And then the second thing they did was, again, these are very evolved souls. We're talking about Confucius and very evolved people, and they're very clairvoyant. So they could observe certain types of music or number patterns, same thing, that light up your aura or that drag you down the toilet. So they and I think one of the things they discovered was, the fascinating part was, some of the things that light up your aura are really fabulous number patterns. Anyway, there's an ancient healing code. It's called Solfeggio today, but it's a 369 pattern that brings fast enlightenment. And just before and after Carillion photography of listening to like these tones is phenomenal. So it's in, and I put these tones in the background in tuning forks based on the work of Robert Becker, a physicist who determined that little tiny frequencies sometimes hit our cell-to-cell transfer, and sometimes the most important frequencies that influence the most, little geomagnetic frequencies, little tiny, little subtle things, affect our consciousness. So I put all my, when I'm bringing all these ancient enlightenment techniques back in my music, I put them in tuning forks, so they're very subtle. And and they really create that entrainment with the light.
Yeah. To me, I mean, it's just, it is, like you say, I mean, it's a very subtle sound, and, you know, and it's one that, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, when I mean, I have, you know, on my little iPod, I have my playlist, you know, and I mean, I have everything from, you know, inspiration, I have meditation, the gym, you know, and each one has its own, you know, playlist, you know, and it's, to me, it's kind of like that, you know, that you can really invoke a certain feeling, a certain bodily response by the music that you listen to.
Like my flower symphonies is a set of emotional healing, again, found throughout antiquity, but most predominantly in the ancient Greek culture. They were into kind of like the way to save their country was to build virtue and to cathartic release of all your crap. And they would use music for rehabilitation of mental health issues, personality problems, personality flaws, for rehabilitating criminals. Did was very scientific in one way. They're relocating where the golden ratio fits in a scale and like where it's going to bounce off in your skull and how that's going to impact what it's going to vibrate in your brain. And they're basically going in there and tempering your personality. The ancient Greek scales, it's hard for us to understand that because the Catholic Church came in, burn it all. And then when they were doing their music system, they tried to copy it, but they did so incorrectly. So you have to go over to, like, Turkey and some of those other countries to get, I think, the real scoop on the Greek stuff. But what I did in my flower remedies is that I know there's a frequency for every emotion. And with the flower remedies by Edmund Bach, you buy these little vials, and the idea is that you consume the vibratory energy of a flower and that you, again, like the Greeks, you fix your world by fixing your emotions. So if you feel depressed, you would consume daisy energy because it's cheerful. You know, if you feel ugly, you would consume rose energy because it's beautiful. And so anyway, you can buy these little vials, which I did, And then you can get the frequency of a vial. Remember, you ingest sound. I have another CD where I have the frequencies of vitamins. You ingest sound. So anyway, or frequencies associated with vitamins. Anyway, so I have the vial, the frequency of the vial, the frequency of the motion playing in the background. And that's very boring because it's just a tone. So I put in music to match. So like if we're, you know, playing peace, the music is peaceful. And then I was playing in this nursing home, and I was so deflated. They didn't want any happy, joyful, lovely music to get the kings out and hear them. But they wanted sad, sorrowful. They were depressed. They were alone. They wanted to whine in the soup. And so I ended up playing Cry Your Eyes Out music for 6-9 months. And I'm a violinist, so that's pretty easy there. And they wouldn't speak. They didn't speak to anybody in the first 9 months. And then all of a sudden they started to speak. And when I left, at just 12 months, there were Chatty Cathys. And I got to observe firsthand that by simply going in and feeling your sorrow, it's like an energy. It's a thing. It's real. It's in you. It's stuck inside your muscles in different places in your body. You vibrate it by feeling it, and you release it. And it's like if you don't feel it, you don't heal it. You say, oh, that doesn't bother me, and you just stockpile it. And in that nursing home, they had stockpiled so much crap, they couldn't even have a relationship. And so I saw the incredible benefit of releasing your crap. And, you know, really, if you think about it, you can ingest virtue and light through sound, which I'm giving you, but if you still got your crap, it's like you're just light coating or sugar coating your crap. You still got it. So I put in, yeah, you do. You don't just fill up with light and it goes away. You have to get rid of the sad, the anger, whatever it is you have lurking in your subconscious. And sound's the best way to do it. It's the fastest, most permanent, and you don't know the situation. You know, you don't have to think, well, that jerk Frankie did this. You just feel sad or whatever.
Right.
And so I copied the Catharsis off the Greek, and I have this flower series symphony in which you, like, release some patience, build patience. Release doubt, build trust. And I just go through what Edmund Bach said was the emotions that would restore the emotional body. And I know it works because when I listen to it, when I get to the cathartic part, I can feel crap going out. And for a second, I don't like anybody or the music. It's like, ooh. It's almost like you burp or you fart or something. It's like, oof. And it's because when you're releasing, like, that vibration gets in there and it's starting to dig your crap, but often it's stuck. That's why we do yoga and those funny poses, is to get in a pose where stuff can release. Anyway, and then when it releases like in a ball. And you feel it because it passes your emotional fields as it leaves. And then when you ingest a virtue, it's like drop by drop. It's just like a celestial uplift. Very beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you
and
know, that to me, that that is you know, very intuitive for, in the sense I want, you know, the listener to really recognize what, you know, to take from what you just said is how important it is to you know, the idea of, you know, trying to sugarcoat the crap, you know, going in there and you know, and if the nursing home was not all joyful and that kind of thing, it was, in a way, it seemed like you kind of really adjusted your therapy, musical therapy, to resonate with what the current, you know, vibration was there. I mean, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It was kind of like, you know, if you went in all joyful and all that kind of thing, they wouldn't be able to relate to it, and it wouldn't have moved them, you know, as much as going in there and, you know, providing them something that they could understand, and they could provide, you know, at least provide the beginning of that release. So,
Yeah.
And I think that's real important because, you know, so many times, you know, a lot of people out there who try to espouse, you know, positive thinking and other, I mean, and it's a good thing, but it's also important to really, if you're in, you know, a painful period, you know, to in a way honor that, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, and not try to, you know, put a mask on it. You know, because
right.
it's obviously there for a reason.
Pretend it's not there and just push it out of your conscious. Yeah. And I think humanity has a greater benefit from releasing negativity because we've all had so much pain. I mean, it should be 50-50 really, but I think of the current state, most people have so much pain, even from this lifetime, from walking around from other near other people's pain because you ingest sound and vibration. From past lives, I mean, there's so much to clear. There's so much suffering.
Yeah.
And to transform it through music is such a profound gift. And you can do walk-by healing, you know? Play it in the room. And
absolutely.
Let people come in.
Yeah. Now, you indicated you had these flower compositions, and you sent me a sample of one. Would you mind sharing with the listeners what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot it was school.
Grant,
okay.
Again, this is off the box flower remedies, and they, of course, spent all their efforts to match the feeling of the flower, the vibratory energy with the motion. And Scranthus is all about feeling like you really did the right thing. Indecision, like, how do I want to do this and I want to do that? It's a low vibe. And in this music, the little clip is just the feeling like you know you're in the right direction. You know you're in the right path. It's a little clip where the music emulates that feeling.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to play that for those of you listening. And then when we return, we're going to continue on and have a few more minutes to talk about all of this. We have a whole lot of stuff that we can talk to about sound and music. But anyway, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be back. This is one of the flower combinations. Okay, well, that, you know, when I first listened to that one, it had that uplifting, hopeful feel about it, you know, so I could see where just listening to that, it would shift someone's energy to recognizing that things are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. And also, we always think, you know, is it this decision or is it that decision? And you waffle back and forth thinking that the problem is the decisions. Sometimes it's that our frequencies go in and in and that we can't choose. So if you get in that space, if you get in the flow, if you get in the groove, sometimes it's like it's so much easier to connect with the right choice because your energies are part of the decision-making process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier in the show, you talked a little bit about Sherry Edwards and some of her work. There was one bit in an article that you wrote, you know, talked about her work, you know, revealing the nano frequencies detected within our voices and that they can kind of give clues to physical and mental states. And in it, you shared a personal experience, that if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners about with shingles that has, you know, because I have several friends who have actually encountered that recently. So, you know, for those listening,
I had a terrible case of shingles. And it's chickenpox kind of a virus. And it burned through the inside out. And it just burned a hole, big bloody hole all around my lip. And I've been to the doctor I don't know how many times. And absolutely nothing. And I listened to the shingles frequencies. And I listened to it quite a bit because I had a terrible outbreak. And it was gone overnight. So now, if it tends to come out, I just throw in the CD. Boom, gone. And here's the underlying math for that. Think of it as shingles, like if you were to get a super microscope and look at live blood, and you were to see the actual shingles virus, and think of it like a jellyfish, you know, blah, 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 and as it breathes, it goes in and out. So if you were to measure how far it goes in and out, with physics, you could figure out what's its frequency. So I'm making this up. Let's say shingles is 537 cycles per second. If you listen to 1 over 537 cycles per second, that's the antidote because you absorb sound. Royal Wright, a doctor in the 40s, reportedly was curing 800 out of 800 cases of cancer doing this. He was going into the live blood, measuring the frequency of the disease, and administering the reciprocal frequency. I mean, how simple is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I really believe that we're going to be seeing some very clear scientific breakthroughs when it comes to sound therapy.
Absolutely. And even just observing things like, you know, like you can look at the world in terms of thinking about biology or thinking in terms of chemistry, etc. If you start to think about math and vibration, then you can just simply observe the body. This is what Sherry does. Observe the body, note the frequencies. And if science does that, they're going to understand so much more. There's all the breakthroughs we need. You don't have to, like, come up by chance. It's right there. Just observe the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was this morning. I was on Facebook, and one of my friends shared a picture from some natural, you know, website. But anyway, it was a cross-section of various fruits and vegetables and that kind of thing and talked about the symmetry, you know, the sacred geometry, you know, within nature and all of it, you know, also relating back to numerical formulations and that kind of thing. And it was just amazing, you know, when you really sit back and admire, you know, nature's design, you know, we gain so much from that.
Yeah. One of my books, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing, explains a lot of the work of Sherry Edwards, explaining the numbers and the frequencies within the body. And she offers a free software program at nanovoice.org. in which you can break your voice into component pitches and see what your body is, and we're all different. And then in that book, I have a chapter and so forth, two chapters, on how to use that nano voice, how to see which pitches are making you perhaps sick, how to sing a tone to create balance, health, harmony, how to relate it to your personality, how to relate it to your health, your astrology, the colors, I mean, all kinds of things. And I also go into some of the ancient ascended master teachings. They had fabulous ways to modulate your speaking voice, to not only create balance and health within, but to create balance and health with those that you speak with, like to understand their health through listening to their voice. And then if they're out of whack, you could balance them with your own voice. Notice when Jesus did his miracles, he speaks them. You know, it's maybe not all of it. I'm sure it's also his consciousness. But one component is his voice. And we've lost that component. And I'm bringing that back.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And I do want to let everyone know that if they go to your website, which is again, jillswingsoflight.com, in your store you do have your digital downloads for your CDs available from CD Baby, and also your books, and also some special offers or combinations. So I really suggest everybody go look at that.
There's a half-hour free sound healing music, and if you download those MP3s, if you like today's show or this kind of info, then you'll get a sound healing newsletter. And every 2 weeks, I come out with like a page of information like we discussed today, if that trips your trigger. Oh, it's there for free.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. I noticed that on the front page. Subscribe for your free sound healing MP3s. So everybody go to Jill's homepage and sign up for that. Well, Jill, this has really been informative, and I really thank you for your time. I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you. I was delighted to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Jill Madsen, and we have been talking about vibrational healing. Again, you can find out more about her by visiting her website, which is jillswingsoflight.com. And again, check out the free MP3s. Also visit the store. Again, definitely go to her link with articles. Those are some really wonderful articles with very revealing information, much of which we talked about today. And so that's about it. So everyone, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Just one real quick reminder, I do have a very special guest on my show on Friday, and it's Rose Rock, and she is mother of comedian and actor Chris Rock, and I met her doing a TV promo a couple months ago. And so anyway, we're going to be talking about her book, Mama Rock's Rule. So that should be a really fun show. So I hope you join me for that. So everyone, again, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BiteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BiteRadioMe. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.